Okay, the meeting is called to order. At this time, Mr. Bregman will lead us in a moment of silence and the pledge, which the flag is over there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for coming out this evening. We have the agenda modification for the changes this evening.
I do, Mr. President. I need to add to the agenda officially putting graduation out there for the public. I need the board to approve that. If you could add the approval of graduation date set as Friday, June 7th, 2019, 6:30 p.m. for class of 2019. At this point, we're going to throw the dice that we're not going to lose any more school days, the weather, or any other event. So we'd like to book that so that senior parents of seniors can make plans and folks coming in from out of town can make plans, etc. So I'd ask that be added under the action items, make that action item
And we hadn't discussed, I should have asked for a committee report also, so I should, we should put that, I guess, under action item C.
Sure.
Report from the ad hoc committee.
Thank you.
Any other changes? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
We have a second. All right. Thank you. Is there any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay. The agenda for this evening is approved. And we have a special presentation. Mr. Senator.
Good evening, President Yoder, members of the school board. It's my pleasure to be before you here this evening. Unfortunately, our two students of the month for the month of March could not make it tonight. It's Lauren Ashcroft and Kevin Carball. They could not make it this evening, but we do have a special presentation. And at this time, I'd like to invite Kate Whitman over to Dr. Hollister. And I tried to get President Trump here, but unfortunately, he could not make it to present this award to Katie. But we wanted to recognize Katie tonight for the Prudential Spirit of Community Awards. Every year, we nominate students for this who serve the community in a variety of ways. And we have never had anyone be recognized by the President of the United States. But this year, we were fortunate to have Kate Whitmer receive the President's Volunteer Service Award. And that is basically based on, or judged on, initiative, effort, impact, and personal growth within the community. So we wanted to recognize Kate this evening and congratulate him for a job well done and encourage him to continue doing what he's doing because he's awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, Kate.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I'd just like to add, we encourage all of our students to model the Spartan way, doing what's right, doing our best, and doing for others. And certainly today is a great day to be a Spartan, being a part of our family. So congratulations to him. Her, Kate, excuse me.
Okay, and if I could just add from the superintendent's office, my thanks. We often acknowledge the students here. At this, when we get to this level, you get a little speech from me, basically saying that while we're acknowledging and recognizing, you know, work well done, there's sort of two sides to that coin. The other side being, you need to keep doing that. Just because you've gotten an award tonight doesn't mean you're finished. In fact, just the opposite. Because you've earned an award, you've already put yourself as a leader of sorts, and we need you to continue to do more of that. So on behalf of the superintendent's office, thanks for your extra work. I received the letter as well and was thrilled when I saw it. So I'm thrilled for you and thrilled for us. And don't forget, wherever you go, you take that Garden Spot High School label in our community. But thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Dr. Hollister. It's always a highlight when we have the student of the month show up. Unfortunately, oftentimes what makes them the student of the month is also what prevents them from being here, because they're involved in a lot of things. But it is always a great thing. So we have time set aside now for citizens of the school district that wish to address the board. And we had some people who indicated they wanted to do that. So we'll call them now. John Mensler. And then next would be Rick Hodge.
Well, I just wanted to open up in a public word of prayer. And first of all, I just want to let you all know that you have been in our prayers as you go through this monumental fast. And we're supporting you that way. So if you would, I would like to lead a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for the opportunity to serve you in a way, in a public way, to lead in a private way, uphold these board members in prayer. And give them wisdom, give them discernment as they move forward. Lord, help us all to support them in a positive way, that though our concerns can be heard and can be displayed, Lord, as the follower of Jesus Christ, that you will be honored, you will be glorified in our actions, and that you will remain held at the highest esteem. You deserve all the glory and praise against all this. Amen.
Thank you. Rick Hodge.
Good evening, everybody. Alumni, class of 2011. I'd like to commend the board of Dr. Hollister for their leadership thus far in this difficult issue. I'm a government major, very interested in public service. I volunteer and work with campaigns at the state, local, and federal level. I lobbied in Harrisburg and elected student government. This is by far serving this state. The most learning I've done, and it's been 3 weeks. As I thought about the challenges surrounding the situation, I started to consider how I view this issue. What I realized is I at times wasn't considering all the burdens and variables that surrounding it. I wasn't thinking fairly. Thanks.
Sorry.
So, we all have beliefs, principles, and values and guidance that color our view of the world. This creates a lens through which we individually see the world and develop our opinions. What I decided to do this weekend was move past my own bias, my own beliefs, and most importantly, move past myself. This is why myself, along with several others who have come to me here this evening, strongly support the proposal. The new proposal transforms and leads on the issue of privacy. I am indeed interested in LGBT rights. I have friends who are gay and transgender, but I shouldn't let that convolute my thinking. But what the board has proposed and hopefully accomplished here is took off their lenses, and have tried to find a solution for all students. They thought fairly, and they led admirably. The new locker rooms provide security for all. The transgender student struggling with their sexuality, perhaps the student who suffered from abuse and is a trauma to go into the locker room. Or as many have testified in the last several weeks, the locker room causes them to face some of their deepest insecurities. And outside organization has learned into our fractures, leaned into our fractures, leaned into our divisions. Tried to foment issues that are unfortunate for their own gain. But Dr. Hollister and the board have to this point remained level-headed and fair. They've led. This is an important lesson for me to watch. I hope as we move forward, we can all take our lenses off to work on the other issues the youth of this community are facing, namely hunger, insecurity at home, poverty, and the many challenges of adolescence that the high school is facing.
Thank you. Diane Eberle and then Tim Bender.
Dear school board members, this is in response to Paul Urban's reply in my previous letter to all of you that I sent on March 14th. He stated in his reply, please note the school district is following the law. That is not true. There is a big difference between pertaining to water closets and outdoor bathrooms state that they must be separated by sex. Also, Code 171.7 toilet facility states that they shall be provided on the premises for students separately for each sex. And all these school board meetings and ad hoc meetings are really for the welfare of all the students, as it has been stated many times. Then it's very simple. Follow the Pennsylvania law and the public school code.
Tim Lent, and then Ron Garland.
Good evening. I simply just wanted to say thank you for your continued work on this really tough subject. And also wanted to communicate that obviously for myself and my household, we're still looking behind you in prayer. The subject's not going away. Construction loans and so on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the work of the board on behalf of the community. My name is Fred Eck. I'm a school teacher, former school teacher with 44 years of experience in the Wilmington school districts. And I was from the Brandywine School District, and I was involved in the desegregation process that occurred there. So accommodation and trying to be fair to the citizenry is really not new to me. Been through this before, but in a different level, mostly on a racial level. And it was a very interesting experience. This is a little different, because we're dealing now with perhaps religious and cultural aspects that perhaps, you know, we never saw in Wilmington. Now, I have a question. We have, in Pennsylvania, a multicultural society. And places like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and so on, it is even more so. People from all over the world and many religions. Ask the board, and since this has been only the second time that I've been before the board or the last meeting, maybe this has already been addressed, but I'd like to address a question to the board at this time. And the question is this: we have coming into our country right now literally thousands of people coming in from all over the world, and many of them belong to the Islamic faith. Now we have to think here. In the Islamic faith, there is a strict separation of male and female. You just don't mix them up into a group. Now, what do we do to accommodate people who feel very strongly in a separation, just like the Islamic, those of the Islamic faith? How do we accommodate those students when they move into our district? Are we going to force them into this process that we may be considering? This is, I don't know if this has been addressed by anyone before this or not, but this is something that, we ought to consider. We are really a melting pot of nations, of religions, of faith, and so on. And when we bring in concepts like this, which are very popular in Europe, especially in the Baltic states. My family comes from Sweden, so I know what's going on there. But this is different. We are a melting pot of nations. How are we going to address these cultural forces that are now becoming part of our society? I just would like to address that to the board. Thank you very much for allowing me to ask the question.
Okay, thank you. Brian Hauer, and then Rodney Bradley.
Good evening. I'm here to, thank the board for everything you're doing. And I also want to, the board has a tough job. And if I think of three words that come to mind that a board has to do, or should do, is encourage, inspire, and evolve. And I want to especially commend the president. A few weeks ago, when you mentioned that and gave your statement, and I appreciate it, it was your feelings, that we have to look at bathrooms differently. We're still doing them like in the 50s. And I appreciate that, because that took a leader to say that and to encourage that thinking. And I think that encouragement has gone to the board to inspire them, to the ad hoc committee, to inspire them to look at a plan that is going to then evolve this district and this community to be a place that reaches out to all and is given the privacy for all. And I want to myself encourage you and inspire you to continue that evolution. And to thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for the job you're doing. And I'm with you every day.
Thank you. Rodney Bradley, and then Priscilla.
Hi, my name is Rodney Bradley. First, thank you for the board. First time I was ever at one interview. I want to thank this gentleman back here for standing up.
If you could, if you could speak into the microphone and address the board only.
Okay, I want to thank this fellow behind me for giving prayer, for standing up for his faith. Me and my wife are both Christians. We live down here in the middle of the Willows here. We just think it's a shame to spend our tax dollars for an issue like this. We just couldn't disagree with it more. Our church in our Bible that we use on Sundays and every day of the week says marriage is a man and a woman. If a man wants to use the bathroom, he uses a man's. If a woman wants to use the bathroom, she uses a woman's. You know, if somebody doesn't want to change in the locker room, let them go to the nurse's office. I just don't feel this is the right way to be spending our tax dollars. $1 million for a new locker room. Where is it going to stop? Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you. Priscilla Everly, and then Chris Park.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for serving in this way. I know it's taken a lot of time out of your family schedules, and we appreciate you representing our families as well. I said two quick things, I think, to say equal rights doesn't mean infringing on others' rights. Talking about privacy for all and safety for all. So I pray that you have the courage to make the right decision for our children's children and the children to come. And let's not make a decision based on fear, but what might happen. Let's think about what's right for all and what's safe for all and equal rights for all. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. And then Chris Buff.
Yeah, of course, echoing everybody else's thanks. I certainly also want to thank you guys for the long hours that you're putting in, the research that you're putting into this, and the emotional output that you're putting into this as well. Certainly you do encourage, you do inspire, as the gentleman said. I do want to caution against the evolve part of that comment, just because our community morals based off of natural law do not evolve. They've been the same for thousands of years in every civilization. And if you look in the natural law, you'll see that that's true. And so I want you to be careful with that. Certainly, I want you to consider the community morals that are present here. You look at something, I mean, even the law defines something like obscenity. Obscenity is based off of community standards. There's not a legal definition of something that's obscene. So community standards do matter. And I want you to please consider that. And then also please consider, again, what are you doing now? I understand that there are some accommodations being made now. The construction project, while there are some potential money problems with that, as you are well aware, is a solution for a year or plus for now. It's not a solution necessarily for right now. So just please consider, what are you doing right now to protect our children? And again, thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. I do have some comments that I wanted to make, and I did write them down to make sure that I didn't miss anything. So first of all, I wanted to thank the members of the ad hoc committee for their commitment to this process. In addition to volunteering their time to serve on the board, they agreed to take extra valuable time away from their families and activities to work on the student bodily privacy policy. We had put them in place. It was to look at a comprehensive policy to look at the protecting the privacy of all students, and that's not about one individual. This is a much broader than that, and I'll refer back to my comments. But I haven't been able to attend all of the meetings, but I have been able to do some of them, but not all. I commend them on their thorough and open meetings that they've held and that they've conducted, and their willingness to seek input from the community. We don't have a finished policy yet. We do have one that I'm seeing emerge, which seems to be moving towards a workable solution. Once this policy is presented to the board, and if adopted, we will need to alter our current practice, because it will call for privacy for all students, which we can't really accomplish with the current facilities that we have. As a board, we have the authority to direct the administration to change practices that are in place or recommend new administrative practices. Since we will most likely need to implement these in the near future, there will not be prevents from acting now if we decided to do that. In looking at options, which to give acceptable bodily privacy for all students, I feel there are two possible ways to accomplish what the policy to put in place until the facilities have been renovated. Many have suggested to put in place an interim practice that requires students to use the facilities that correspond with their biological sex. I'll call this option one. So implementing this practice would closely mirror the case in Pine Richland schools, where the board voted on an interim policy while they were working on a comprehensive policy. They were challenged in court and lost the case. As a result, in addition to their own attorney costs, they also were forced to pay the plaintiff's attorney costs, as well as punitive damages. Also, the judge, within about 6 months, there was an injunction ordered by the federal judge, which required them to go back to the policy that they had in place before. So just so you're aware of kind of very, very similar facts to what we're looking at right here. Every case is different, and depending on the judge you get, you may possibly get a different ruling. Perhaps the argument that we're working on renovating our facilities to accommodate all students would be given merit, but it would be a gamble with very high stakes, our taxpayer money. And my concern is that the result comes in like Pine Richland, we're right back to where we are now, which is having to look at renovating the facilities anyways,
But the difference would be that we've already spent taxpayer money to line the pockets of Philadelphia ACLU attorneys while still needing to update our facilities. Given a choice, I'd rather spend the money on facilities now that at least provide jobs and help boost the local economy. But having said this, if there's consensus of the board that wants to take this direction, I'll support it. But I go in with my eyes wide open, my eyes wide open to the fact that it is indeed a gamble. I don't put odds on it, but it's probably more than 50%. Option two, as I see it, would actually result in more privacy for all students, and we could implement this immediately. Until the facilities are renovated, we would discontinue using the showers during the day, direct all students that they will not be allowed to change for PE. The instructors may need to alter their curriculum to allow for lower impact activities, but this has happened in the past when we've had other renovations to facilities where the gym was not, locker rooms were not able to be used for a period of time. At one of the committee meetings, the percentage of the students who actually shower currently during PE class were given, and I think, Tom, if it was somewhere around 10 to 20%, maybe.
It was similar to that.
Depending on
the
situation.
Yeah. Slightly higher for the upperclassmen.
Yeah. So, you know, that would temporarily, in the short term, until we can renovate the locker room, take care of that. Regarding the bathrooms, the ladies' restroom has separate stalls for everyone. The urinals, if you take out a commission, they'll get out of private stalls like what are in the toilets. If this results in students needing more time to use the restroom, then the building administration team would need to make sure that the staff allow it. There may be other options. These are the two that I see as being possibilities, but I'll open it up to any other board members if there are any comments that they want to make.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate your comments. I just had one or two of my other points. So the statistic that was given by the PE teachers was that ninth graders approximately 5%, 10th graders approximately 10%, and then upperclassmen, like Tom said, between 30 and 40% showering after PE class. But additionally, one of the things that I think we're probably going to ask is that we did ask that Dr. Hollister was missing findings on all the rules.
I came in late in that meeting, so I didn't hear that. Other comments?
Would that be across all the campuses or just the?
At this time, I'm thinking of just being the high school, but.
High school?
I don't think so at this time.
Well, what would your, if that was a motion, what would it be? The middle school or not?
At this point, I don't think it would be to. That could be, it could be changed at a later date. But at this point, I think just the high school.
Yeah, just to interject, at this time, there'd be no need to include the middle school.
Thank you.
If anyone wishes to make the condition, that's up to open, that's open to push as well.
So I think those, I think your option two is a very good, bridge to get us to see what the results from that ad hoc committee are.
My understanding is that it's a little bit my understanding is that the next ad hoc meeting on Thursday we'll be discussing some of these options. So that I think there's a hope that at the next board meeting that we can officially figure out what are the options and maybe option we see what we can do yet. And so our hope is to bring this to the next board meeting and maybe offer an official vote.
I think additionally, you said the
to interrupt just a couple of pieces of information to the conversation. I did meet with the PE teachers today, based on the conversation that occurred Thursday evening. Couple of things just to deal with. And I was corrected, I didn't ask the right question, but I just want to share with you. One of the points that the PE teachers made was, wow, the number of kids not high numbers of kids showering, there are high numbers of kids changing. So we would need to make sure, in other words, they go, they get sweaty, they put a new shirt on, whatever. Because especially those who have PE first thing in the morning, for good reason, to change and sitting and that stuff. While the PE teachers were not excited to change what they're offering, we could make lower impact PE opportunities available. We would need a little bit of ramp up time. I would recommend that we take a week or two preferably, to give the PE folks the opportunity to add some bona fide and meaningful opportunities. Things like you could do a unit on Taekwondo, where there's not a whole lot of sweating involved, but some important physical technique, et cetera. So they could rearrange. I would just want to give them enough time to make it meaningful exploratory and alternative types of outdoor PE activities. So I would ask the board to do take that action, to get some good time. Notify parents, get letters out to students' parents, and have a PE folks ready. If you so choose to make that action tonight, that gives us more time. I won't have any more information Thursday than I currently have now because I'm not with PE folks today.
I think if the committee would want to put a work on a policy that would recommend the practice. In the interim of practice.
To Bob to implement.
Right. You would have to come back. I think come back to the board.
Right.
The next meeting. If you want to make a recommendation based on this.
Just another point of clarification. Mr. Yoder, your option two included basically bagging the urinals. I'm not sure why what we're gaining there. As students can use the stalls by choice now anyway, why would we force kids not to use the urinals? Is there a specific concern there? The only reason I mention it is it could slow down our efficiency of kids coming in and out of bathrooms if they're all out of the way for stalls. I'll just have to find the guys out, it potentially would make for additional cleanup too. Boys aren't always so clean about that stuff. So I know it's not. We're just in an awkward place, people. Let's just say. I would say that just consider that. I'm not sure if there's a strong reason to bag the urinals in the district.
If the committee want to tackle that too, or
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Do you want to tackle the urinal issue?
Yes, we should.
All right, any other comments? Hearing none, then we will move on to a special presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Yoder. Mrs. Karen Devine is here. Karen is from the Pennsylvania School Boards Association. We are a member of that organization. They give us a lot of guidance and resources, and are always only a phone call away. And Karen's here to remind us that they're only a phone call away. I don't want to steal all your thunder, Karen.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here tonight. Thank you for your membership to the SBA. Thank you for all you do as school board members. I try to get out to all the districts in my territory about once a year, if possible. I cover 115 school districts in South Central PA. I'd like to draw your attention to some of the handouts I brought tonight, and you can look at those later, but I just wanted to give you a summary of some of the things we're covering in the handouts. Recently, all of you should have received the 2019 State of Education Report. So this was based on information we received from 66% of our chief school administrators here in Pennsylvania. And I gave each of you this sheet at a glance, so it shows what some of the primary findings were in this report. Some of the top three challenges you face are budget pressures. 75% of the chief school administrators noted budget pressures, 45% school safety and security, 21% school construction and maintenance. Your top five budget pressures: pension costs, charter school tuition, special education costs, inadequate state funding, health insurance increases. And then on the back, you can see how these mandated expenses have raised over the last 6 years. So we thought this would be a quick at a glance, and it's important because it will be what we will be covering on our advocacy day. We roll this out in the Capitol Rotunda. We'll have a press conference. We're inviting all of you to try to join us for Advocacy Day, and we will help you get your appointments scheduled with your lawmakers. So we hope to see you there. If you need help registering for that, my card's in each of your kits. We have a few things coming up. Under Education and Training, on March 20th, that's Wednesday, we have our sectional meeting at PSBA. So other people from the area will be there. We have someone coming from the Attorney General's office, HEMA. Our focus is going to be school safety and an update on the Safe to Say Something program. And also we'll be talking about the governor's proposed budget, and that will prepare us for Advocacy Day. And then I also wanted to draw your attention to Spring Legal Roundup. That's also taking place at PSBA on March 26th. And in addition to that, I brought this card. It has all of our online courses that we currently have on our website for you to use. If you need help logging into my PSBA, I can help you with that. Finally, the Principles for Governance and Leadership. Everything we do at PSBA is based on these principles. So I brought a copy for each of you. We're encouraging boards to review these on an annual basis or every 2 years and consider adopting them. I thank you again for all you do. Thank you for having me here tonight.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks for always picking up the phone when we call. Appreciate it.
Okay, we have before us the consent agenda for this evening. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any discussion or questions or comments on the consent agenda this evening? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. The consent agenda has passed. We do have some action items.
Yes, the action item EA in regards to the Conestoga Christian Day School, they're requesting a refund of rollback taxes through the Act 319 if property is sold and there's a change of use. There is some prior taxes that are due. On the two parcels that they bought, that total amount is $2,582.72. It's my understanding in talking with them that they're using the property for baseball field for the school.
Okay, and I'll repeat, I guess, what I said last week. Going forward, they can certainly apply to be tax exempt. It's not about that. This is, in my opinion, the seller is the one who's responsible for paying these taxes because they're the ones that have been benefiting from the reduction in taxes over the past 7 years that they would have to pay back. So I would recommend that we would make a motion to deny this request. If there's anyone who wants to do that,
I'll make the motion to deny
it.
Second.
Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So that is denied that request. Approval of graduation for class of 2019, Friday, June 7th, 2019. We need a motion, I guess. Dr. Hollister, I guess, just to.
The officer did the request to approve the graduation date as Friday, June 7th, 6:30 p.m., class of 2019.
Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Are you grabbing your stuff? Yeah, it depends tonight. Let's press our fingers. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Then finally, Tom, if you would report from the ad hoc committee.
The next ad hoc committee will be 5 o'clock on Thursday, the 21st. This will be a very limited meeting. Two board members are on a very tight schedule for that evening. So at 5 o'clock, we will start. We will take no citizen comments that night with the time limit. We will discuss what is found from the different prospects for the gym class. Also, we'll be looking, I don't know what we'll do it that night, but we'll have to be looking at another meeting because we should be getting more results back from the architects with more definitive plans for the locker rooms and bathrooms. Am I missing anything, Dr. Hollister?
I think one final look at policy. I'd like to see us get that policy up to the full board so we can continue putting that along.
So originally we had, I think this meeting was the deadline, so I guess you're asking for to extend that until the next
April 8th.
April 8th is the committee meeting, so within my authority I have that ability, but I'll extend it to the 8th, but I do would like to see it.
Not going to I think we're going to, is there a possibility on Thursday to have a number for the single user facilities that would be available immediately?
You mean at the high school restroom?
Yes.
Yes.
For that, and then we'll move into reports. Lancaster County tax collection.
Yes, we did have a meeting on March 13th. The primary focus of that meeting was to approve the 2018 financial audit report. Highlights of the report is again another clean audit with high regards in their collection process and their safeguard of the district and municipality. Dollars, if you will. Just as I always kind of highlight, their 2018 collection cost was 1.21%. It continues to go down and become more efficient with their technology. In 2017, it was about 1.69%. But I did make a note there on the underlying report that if you take into consideration the interest and penalties that they do distribute to all school district municipalities, you're under 1% tax collection, about 0.9%. And I reference that because a lot of these private collectors may come in with a low rate, but they are keeping all interest and all penalties. So when you take a look at the Tax Bureau, which is run by the school district municipalities, it's less than 1% collection, about 0.9%. So again, they are doing an outstanding job. They also approved the real estate tax collection for the Columbia Borough School District, which is great news. They've done a great job for us, the East Lawrence County School District, this past year. It's a great opportunity for them to receive some revenue to offset their costs in a slow time, which is typically July through December, when the busy time is more
January through June, so it's kind of a nice filler for their staff. Our next meeting is June 12th, and that ends my report, unless there's any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on the report? Lancaster Lebanon, IU 13.
Good evening. The Lancaster Lebanon IU Board of Directors met on March 13th, and we were given a report by the Reentry Education Program Administrator, and what the Reentry Education Project is in Lebanon County and Lancaster County, the IU has a program where they work with incarcerated adults at both of the prisons. And they tutor the incarcerated adults who wish to take part in this program and help them get jobs and train them for the jobs after they are out of prison. The nicest thing that I could have heard come out of that program is the recidivism percentage for the adults who go through this program in both counties was 27% over 3 years. The nationwide average for recidivism in adults is about 1/3 in 1 year. So this program is so successful, they're able to have that program help adults stay out of prison again 3 times the national average. Just wonderful, wonderful program. Tax dollars well spent, because incarcerating somebody costs a lot of money. If you can put that person to do any benefit in society, there's no better reason to be on earth than that. The board approved $7.6 million in payment of bills. We approved contracts through business services of 5 new contracts. Early childhood and special education services, there were 3 new contracts approved. Instructional services, there were 3 new contracts approved. There was 1 new technology service contract approved. For instructional services, there were 6 new or additions to existing contracts approved, and 1 approval of a human resource contract. And that ends my report. Unless somebody has a question, I'll be glad to answer it or get the answer for you.
Any questions on the IU? Thank you for that. Hearing none, then Lancaster CTC, Mrs. Redd.
I have no report this evening except to say, Dr. Hollister, the superintendents received an explanation or a presentation about the reserve fund that the CTC hopes to start.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Redden. The last superintendent's meeting with the CTC respectfully requested to begin holding some funds for a reserve fund. The way it traditionally works is we, at the end of the year, CTC is not really allowed to carry any money at all, and they return that money in small checks to the various school districts. What they'd like to do is build up a small reserve fund. The superintendents were a little bit cautious, saying that they really want to keep that reserve fund to a small number, not as large as the school districts typically carry, but as a small percentage, for some really good reason. First of all, the CTC is heavily dependent on facilities. They get a lot of grant money, and they have an enormously successful foundation that buys a lot of equipment and tools, but they are heavily dependent on facility function. One of the challenges that they are having is infrastructure issues with technology, infrastructure issues with sewer treatment. For example, at Brownstown, they have a sewer treatment facility on site that they know is going to need replaced, they can pipe for about 3/4 of a mile to a mile and get rid of that sewer plant altogether. They need cash on hand to do those kinds of things. So it's really an investment. What they're claiming is an investment to save dollars in the long run. And the superintendents did support that. So we think it's good to see, or at least get permission from the superintendents to move forward and allow them to maintain.
When you say they're not allowed to, is that their charter?
Yes.
So, and we are a charter school district, so would it be, would the board need to weigh in on that?
Well, I was just going to ask, are there comments or things that I can, I'm sure it will come up, it will come up for discussion in March's meeting because it was remitted to the superintendents first, and that report will come back to us, and we will be talking about it.
We've heard something about this.
We had kept a small amount of the CTC had kept a small amount of last year's money and not returned all of it to the district, but returned a portion of it to the district. Now they would like to set up a reserve fund so that there's some cash on hand to do things. Rather, the alternate to that would be every time something comes up, going back to the districts and requesting more money.
And in an emergency situation.
Yes.
It's not that I'm necessarily opposed to it, I just was curious.
Yeah, no, that, and they've looked at the charter, and what the CTC is asking to do will fit under the current charter. It doesn't say thou shalt not keep any money, but it talks about how, what, whose money, but they've gone over it. The business manager and Dr. Savin, who is the executive director, have gone over it and have figured out how much, you know, what can be done with the current charter. Are there thoughts about?
If I remember correctly, we discussed it last year. We talked about based on a percentage, and it's like a single digit.
I don't have to.
I'm going to after Thursday's meeting. For some reason, I see here 3 or 4% of their
I don't remember a percentage.
The percentage that the superintendents gave them was 4%. And that's only about, let's say, about $700,000. What they would build up to.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Very good. Any other questions or anything else?
Well, is there a consensus from the board as to whether or not you think this is a good idea or not?
I think it's fine.
I don't have a problem with it. If you need a vote, we're not.
No, we don't need to at this point, especially. I don't know if they'll ask for one, but just so that when I'm entering discussion, I have an idea.
Incidentally, that fund would be proportionate to school districts, smaller school districts giving us large school districts a lot of that.
Well, maybe Mr. Ramsey would prefer to get a phone call than I'd ask you.
Put you on speed dial?
Yeah, I think respond to emails on Saturday night, so even though I don't attend them into, so he probably would. Okay, thank you for that report. Any other questions or comments on the CTC? You're graduating soon too, I guess. These are holding for us. Legislative, Mr. Wenzel.
Yes, of course, the state continues to go over Governor Wolf's budget. Of course, President Trump came out with the federal budget, which initially shows a 10% cut in federal funds for education. I'm not sure if Keith. We know how that works out a little bit, whether it'll be a full 10% cut or if it will go through as is. Can't see it.
I'm down here. No, we have not gotten any details on that yet, which areas would be cut and which areas of those programs that we would that would funnel to school districts.
I know I'm putting you in the spot a little bit here. What is the amount of federal funds we currently receive in the title programs?
We receive in Title I, we receive about a little under 840,000. Title II, we receive about 150,000. And Title IV, we receive about 43,000. So those are the funds that we receive.
Okay, thank you.
I was just going to mention, when you're looking at the $50 million budget, not that the federal government. very specific and very tied to your presidential candidates next year, talking about what they're going to do for education.
Okay, the House is, this is sort of a broad brush, it's continuing to look at bills to reorganize career and tech education. I don't know if that Bob might be comment on the revisions that there possibly might be coming in that. They're looking at totally, I know, looking at totally a different approach, sort of like we looked at the ACT program here at school, tech is the way it was 20, 30 years ago, looking into the future, future careers in Pennsylvania. That's,
the career push is a part of the new future ready index. That's a part of what's happening. That comes out of PPE. I haven't seen the traffic on the house.
One other note that was in my report, of course, the two things to keep in mind at a statewide level. Of course, May 21st is a primary dealing with local elections, but there'll be two Senate seats which will be special elections for senators that have left office, plus one congressional primary also will be that day. So that's something that'll be in the news, especially the congressional one, I'm sure we'll be doing about on the national level. One note that's something that the Senate's board and the administration will know. Full-time nurses continue to be in short supply, and actually, note there that only 40% of the schools have a full-time nurse. And I know that's a continuing challenge here for us, also. Other questions from the board? That concludes my report.
Okay. Maybe that's where Representative Sterling got that figure at the breakfast that was questioning that he threw out there. That 50% of schools don't have school nurses, but it's because they can't hire them. Any other questions or comments on the legislative? Thank you for that report. Superintendent's report, Dr. Allison.
Mr. President, just a few items. First one, our music teachers continue to shine and learn three instruments and support from the county organization. For everyone. This time it's Lisa Zimmerman at Blue Ball won an award and we're purchasing a whole bunch of new ukuleles for students. So always keeping the freshman fun. And our music teachers just have done a great job. We've gotten this award every year for the last several years and the teachers have applied and made just cause for getting money from that lunch account fund. So that's very good. Second thing I have is our own tech director, Lotsa Wooten, who you all know, was highlighted, profiled in an online tech magazine recently for his work and the partnership that we have with Columbia Borough School District, highlighting the benefits and to both school districts. It really went into some detail about how NICO gets an advantage from working with Columbia because we have a WAN status. Even though we're two schools, we have purchasing powers that we're not able to have as separate schools because of the way Watson has set up the network. It also complements just the service that we're able to provide by having a partner, one channel, even if one partner goes down, the other can cover the other. So if Columbia Borough, for example, if we lose service out here, we can reroute traffic to Columbia Borough School District and not skip a beat and vice versa. So the article was really complimentary to lots of congratulations to him, but also the school district for some of the adventures that we're in. And so I want to compliment Lotsy. It's nice that we have staff members who are out there, faculty members who are out there, administrators out there who are setting a good example and leading for the school district. So congratulations there. The only other thing I have is that it's hard to believe, but I walked outside today and on my way to grab something to eat, and and we are in the spring sports season already. That's just incredible. I'm thankful to see it. Thanks for the effort this winter. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is right around the corner is the spring music. So I'll talk a little bit more about that in April, but that's coming up too, and it's always a great show. So lots of fun things happening. We're getting to that part of the year where all of the students' work and all the teachers' work come to fruition, and we have banquets and award ceremonies and all that fun stuff that we really are all about. So we're coming into a fun time of the year, and I'm excited, and I'll bring those pieces to you as they come out. Thank you very much. That concludes my report.
Thank you.
Thank you. What was the publication you said that Box was in?
The title was Different Kind of Education Network, and you know what? I'm going to have to get to the actual.
Okay. Yeah, if you could send that out.
Yeah, we'll send that out. Yes, we'll do it.
Okay. Any other comments on the superintendent's report or questions? Any other announcements for the board? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned. Thank you all for coming out.